still have willingness.
That's right. Thank goodness for willingness. Well, everybody who's new here today, what should we look at? Good to see you.
I just am experiencing a lot of gratitude for training. I think I talked about it in another recent group, but it keeps coming up for me that as I'm going around on a daily basis, I'm so aware of the training just kicking in. And that most of, I think I said this exact same thing, but it's still here. Most of what I notice is
most of what
I know. We all say
it. We're fond of pointing out. Yeah. We've all heard.
But most of what I notice is what doesn't happen. That as I'm going around, the training kicks in. Maybe it's restraint and religious observances. And so,
can you give a little example? Not to get too lost in context.
Yeah, like. I mean, this is a funny example, but I happen to just have a karma in terms of, communication is a huge form of suffering for all of us. And one way that shows up for me is over-communicating, or just not so much, just communicating just the wrong time, or just the, not quite, or whatever. So I'll notice, a much better example just dropped in. Okay. So, I've talked many times before about how transformative it's been for me to not check email on my phone. So this morning, I was walking out of the kitchen to go use the facilities, looked at my phone to make sure that no one needed me. That's what I use my phone for. Anyone, okay? Put it in my pocket. And felt like the thought went through, I'm going to check email. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it was such, and then I quickly
recorded.
Exactly. I quickly did a recording. I was like, world's fastest recording, because I'm just going to the facility. I'm in the middle of breakfast. But what I saw was, oh my goodness, that's it. That is where, so when there's first something like that, like realizing, wow, a lot of suffering happens around checking email on my phone. Okay, great. I'm not going to do that anymore. So at first, there's a huge campaign on Ego's part to try to stop me. And when it, little ways into it, when it gets it, she's serious, completely backs off,
it's great. She goes to sleep soon.
Good, exactly. However long it takes. Mm-hmm. I mean, a year later. Mm-hmm. And then just quietly go, oh, checking on the phone. And then, so what's, I just sequenced it in the recording. So then what's supposed to happen is either complete unconsciousness, and so just find myself doing that,
Or having done it.
Or that this was so fun to see that, because, there's this one piece of information that I need. And so let me just check it quickly. And what was so
And it won't even count.
Exactly.
It'll be just like not having done it yet.
And what was so what was so cool about seeing that is that when I used to check email on my phone, it always felt like that came first and then I'd check email. And what I saw was there, it's reversed. That it's trying to talk me into checking email and then attaches a reason to it. Uh-huh. So I just...
Just in case you need one.
Exactly.
Right, because you could have just fallen for it. And then
exactly.
You wouldn't need that reason.
That's what I saw, was there could be the complete unconsciousness. If there was a little bit of consciousness, then the next layer is, because there's that one thing, that blah, blah, blah. It was just one of those places where on the recording I was so excited because I'm like, okay, first of all, it tried it and I didn't fall for it. I was there for it. Second of all, it caught my attention so much that I made a recording about it. And now it's in big trouble because what happened with that was it just deepened my understanding of how it's attempting to get me to go back to those places that I don't even want to go. I don't even want to go there.
You may never have wanted to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is huge to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and that's related to the conscious compassionate awareness movement.
Campaign, whatever we want to
We want to call it. But the biggest piece in that, for me at least, is what I experience, how I experience. I could say how I experience myself, but it's more just how I experience life, how I experience, period. Because in that, you know, that struggle of like, oh, I shouldn't check email, but I want to check email, you know, and I'm checking email. That's the experience I have of, quote, myself. Mm-hmm. And not realizing it, what made me think of it was what you just said. Maybe you never did want to.
Maybe that never was you.
Exactly. And that's what it feels like when we make those behavior changes and keep those commitments. That's another thing you said on Project Joy this week, is we keep the commitment because we keep the commitment. Not because I want to, or I feel like it, or I should, or...
And even when I absolutely don't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
All that's irrelevant.
All that's irrelevant. And then in that, it feels like what I get to see is, wow, that isn't me. That truly is not me. And then in keeping the commitment, I get to experience, again, myself, life, however you want to say that, in a completely different way.
Yeah, to experience what does want to wake up.
Yes, exactly.
That when we talk about what's animating us, and to have an experience of that, because that's what's there.
Yeah.
That's what's there when that voice comes in and says, "Who's checking email?" What's there to greet that is what's fueling this journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And for me, the last series of assignments and calls for Project Joy seem to be opening things even wider in that sense of, just especially those conversations. I'm not even sure right now if it was just one conversation. It feels like a lot, but around the anger and just not even labeling it, just having the energy come through. And there was just something I heard in that. It's not like it's a new topic, but some way that I heard it that feels connected to all of that, how that conscious compassion action, the how I experience myself, because I just really, really saw that I don't have any control over that coming through. And to just really experience it. I got some amazing guidance. I think it was just yesterday. It feels like 3 weeks ago. Just to completely just experience it. And, I mean, that's it. Just experience it. It's somehow so huge.
Yeah, I liked what I heard this morning about that we're just walking down the path to awakening.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all that's going on.
Yeah.
And everything that happens along that walk.
Yeah.
This looks like my Bevo fit. God, makes me anxious. I mean, I'm going to bed at night and he's... anyway.
She's jogging in her seat, making finger motions across.
Oh, right. Thank you, Scott. So we're walking down the path, and if we don't get that, which we don't for a really long time, then we're in where we've always been. So some things in life are right, and some things are wrong. Some things are good, some things are bad. You're either right, good, bad, wrong. You're lovable, you're not lovable. You're getting what you want, you're not getting what you want. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That can really keep a person from seeing we're just walking down the path.
Yes.
And as we walk down the path, everything that we encounter on the path is for our awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, we lay it out like that a lot.
Yes.
All right? But it's so counter to corpus of conditioning that says, no, that is not what life is about. Life is about success and failure.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, that's what's been so
hard. And so to say, oh, okay, well, I just went crazy and screamed at a client.
My customer.
At my customer.
Although I didn't realize I was doing that because I'm Italian, so.
And that's right. I thought I was just being Italian, right? Not that she knew she was crazy. And then to get it that, yeah, well, how else am I going to see all that I saw about that?
Yes.
Not by controlling myself and being the right person.
Exactly. Yes.
You're never going to see it.
Yes, thank you. That was really the piece that was so helpful, is that, yeah, where you said, you know, you're going to get a lot of ego points for kind of like, no, I didn't act out of it. And I realized.
I am so repressed. I am the perfect person.
Yes. And I just really saw.
Except then people call you cold and aloof.
Yeah.
There's that danger.
Well.
But generally speaking, yeah. You're a perfect person.
Yeah.
A lot of please and thank you.
Right. I saw, actually, as I was reporting about it, I clearly saw a decision at 18 years old, more like probably 16, 17, where before that, just, wow, big energy all the time. Yell, scream. At my parents, you know.
Self-expressed, we call it.
Mostly my mom.
Our little human potential.
Yeah, so very self-expressed, mm-hmm. Yes. And I can't say it was a conscious decision, but it was very distinct where it was like, out, done. Mm-hmm. And the MO became, basically, the way I recorded about it was control. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna, nope.
Not available.
Yep, completely just... But of course, the anger didn't go anywhere.
Underground.
Exactly.
That's that pig pen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Life of just
yes.
Bad energy in yes. every direction. But I'm fine.
I'm fine.
It's not like I'm angry.
And I'm not.
Gosh.
Yeah, that makes it even clearer. Because what I really saw in playing with it in the last couple of days is I can almost have fun with it. Like,
I'd encourage you to go ahead and have fun.
Okay, I did. I admit it, I did.
Yeah, forget the almost. Go on and do it.
Because that's what I saw when you were saying we're walking down the path that, you know, we always talk about, we're always walking down the path. Always were, always have been. It was all part of it. Mm-hmm. But without that clamp, it's actually fun. So,
yeah.
You know, all that energy, have fun with it, and then... It's much less likely that there's that pig pen energy.
That's right, and you're still going to see just as much.
Way more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Very good.
Very fun.
Beth?
Along those lines of communication, I'll go back to communication. Wow, just seeing a lot around why guidance is so helpful. Even in wanting to give what seems to be helpful information takes away somebody's experience.
Yes.
And I saw that so clearly. And pre-planning and pre-thinking about what might go wrong takes away from the moment. And things still
all
go wrong.
All the moments, right?
yeah. And it didn't solve anything. Actually, it went quote unquote wrong. And just to be able to be here at the monastery and what struck me driving out of the property and then getting out and walking was just that quiet of life. Being present, and I was
actually to be able to be quiet in the quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just extraordinary? Because mm-hmm. you can try to be quiet in the bedlam, and that's one experience. And then there's being the bedlam in the quiet, another experience. And then there's
right.
quiet. It's just glorious.
Yeah, yeah, and which just highlighted the other pieces. That I was seeing, and with the Project Joy, what I feel like I heard at one point this week was, the non-attachment to when things go right, I think it was this morning, when things go the way ego wants it, and then I feel good. So the place where I saw that today is, you know, errands, and then meet, and then get here, and, you know, I saw ego start to come in with, like, ooh, it's all going exactly as you planned, yeah. And I just went, ah. I just instantly dropped it. It's like, that doesn't help me.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The self-hate doesn't help me, we know that. But actually, that doesn't help me either.
That's right. So I don't know, I think it was the one about somebody being proud of their intelligence is like the person being, the prisoner being proud of his big cell.
yeah.
And that's it, right? So things went perfectly. And the implication is, I had something to do with that. Mm-hmm. Rather than, yeah, life is living me, and most of the time, it lives my life through me.
Yeah.
So, I have these errands, and so, I do these errands. It's not a big... Good on me, right? And then I go somewhere, and I go there. You know, again, it's like, yeah. But if it hadn't gone that way, then there's a big problem, big. So you have to have the other side of it.
Right.
Well, if it goes well, then that must be to your credit, in the same way that you're blamed when it doesn't go the way it should.
Yeah, so maybe on the flip side of self-hate is self-congratulatory?
Oh, yes. That's why no praise and no blame is such a big deal in Buddhism.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm starting to really get why that's helpful. Mm-hmm. And the other part isn't.
Yeah, and I think the most helpful piece of it is what you noticed, which is we're not present when we're doing any of those things, whether we're planning how it's going to be. Now, I mean, there's a certain amount of, you have errands. First of all, you have to know that. Second of all, you have to know where to go to do that, right? But that's not a big, you know, that doesn't take genius, right? So I need hardware, I'll go to the hardware store. I need groceries, I'll go to the grocery store. So we do need to recognize these things, right? So we're not idealizing getting up in the morning and being lobotomized, right? So I'll just sit here on the couch until life moves me in a direction. That's not it.
Right.
Right? Because we are being animated.
Yeah.
It's just the being present for that rather than it shouldn't be that way. Oh, I am so good.
Right. Right. So just one more thing I'd like to check out is something that's been happening a little bit more lately is so ego will come in with a story about this is what's going to happen. This and it's going to be something good, and it's going to be a way
don't you feel for her right there? This is going to happen, and it's going to be good.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be
special.
You're going to shine, and you know all this stuff. And before the event can actually come to be, this other place comes in, or what I'm seeing as life coming in and going. Maybe not.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe yes, maybe no. And then I'll record around it because there is somebody who gets really excited about this future thing that would experience severe disappointment if it doesn't happen. But there is this kindness that comes in even before that may happen where just it's like, and if it doesn't happen, we're still okay. You know, we're still, we're together. You know, we're just doing what we're doing, or, you know, not doing what we're not doing.
So with that first, it's a very tricky place, isn't it? Because people will say, there is someone who. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah.
Right? Could just be a pure old ego takeover. And it's simply, you know, you're just getting all wound up for the fall, basically. Because when, I mean, nothing is going to be that good. Right? The things in our lives that are that good don't have that kind of a hype buildup.
Right. I think I'm catching on to that.
Yeah. And so maybe it's a person in the sense of an aspect of the personality who believes that.
Yes.
Who gets set up for it.
Right.
Maybe it's just ego.
Talking ego.
We may never know.
Right.
But not going down that road is something that we can learn, which is not the same as, okay, so mildly depressed all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that one of, so I'm just going to be disappointed all the time to keep from being disappointed. That's not what we're talking about either. You know, I'm going to be present to the best of my ability and experience whatever's there because I'm walking down the road. And I'm trusting that however this goes, whatever happens, if I'm here, it's going to be significant for me.
Yes.
I'm going to get a lot out of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think probably most of us have the experience of something that we hadn't planned at all turns out to be, you know, peak experience of my life.
Yeah.
And looking at that, really the only thing that we're going about it is I was here for it.
Yeah, that's what dropped in when you were talking about, you know, the only time, well, the times that are those peak experiences are when you're present, you mm-hmm. know, and it could just be eating a carrot here at the monastery, which was a peak experience.
Exactly, yes. And so. I don't know about anybody else, but looking at that, so there's a peak experience, and you realize the only thing peak about that was presence. Right? And in that peak experience, so in the same way we talk about when there's a loss, when we grieve, we tend to grieve all the previous losses. Mm-hmm. They all come up again. They all come back. And in the same way, when we have that kind of presence, it brings the presence of all previous presences mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm. Wow. So is that part of training or part of building the ability to be
just
present?
Just watching. Yeah.
Well, it's been great. I'm so glad to be here.
Me too. Mm. I promised to come over here. So we'll start with you, sir. Yes.
Wonderful to be back. I take no credit for getting here.
It's always a miracle, isn't it?
It truly is a miracle, speaking of intelligence and animals. It truly is a miracle that it seems like for this journey, getting here this time, there seemed to be a lot of steps and a lot of fuss and carrying on by ego, which is just traditional. But this
tradition. I like that. Ego's hysteria. It's just tradition.
Yeah. Just, you know, yeah, whatever. It's the whatever.
Just how it is.
Just seen it so many times now, you know, in just upping the stakes. But the intelligence that animates, it's just, my experience is awareness expanding, and I'm there for more moments. And it's that small, still voice mm-hmm. that is just, it's just guiding me this whole process to getting here. It's just in just a little content, I seem to get distracted the first day of driving. Because for starters, I hadn't driven for 6 months. I parked the car and I biked. So just made conscious awareness to put the car away and bike. And I did that, and it was really, really rewarding to not use the vehicle. And so But I hadn't really put that together about halfway through that drive, the first day yesterday, and I realized I haven't driven in 6 months. No wonder I'm not very skillful right now. So it's because I was kind of distracted and missing signs. And in the first couple states, there's a lot of branches, and you just quickly but the small still voice caught me so early, and I'd be like, sense, no, this is the wrong direction. I pull over. Wow, really? Look at the map. Oh my goodness, yeah, I'm going totally wrong direction. Turn around, go on, and it happened about half a dozen times, just recurring and reoccurring and reoccurring. And I'm being just this awe of, well, A, how did I miss the turn? So where was I for that? But then I'm here for the auto correction, the recalibration.
Have you noticed, though? This is kind of an aside, but that all signs, even major highway signs, are only there for people who live in that place.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't bring somebody from Canada down and have a drive through Seattle.
Yeah.
If they did, they would say, whoa.
Yeah.
We have to change these signs.
Oh, yeah.
Because this, you'd never.
Yeah. Yes. Sacramento was interesting. I came off the 5 into Sacramento. Mm-hmm. There's the 50 and there's the 99 and there's the 205 to LA. And I was like, wow. Like, who even thought of this whole maze?
Nobody.
Nobody thought of it. Yeah.
I've been around as Sacramento developed that.
Yeah.
Nobody thought it through. It's just like, well, there are all these people. Okay, yeah. We only have these three little pathways.
Yes.
And they've got to go in every direction. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the tunnels and going over an underpass, I just don't have that experience from where I am. I'm in Canada. Maybe in the larger, bigger cities we may have them, but I just don't have that experience. Like, 8 lanes across? What's that all about?
All with different signs.
Yeah. 8 lanes across.
West, north, south.
Wow. Todd will get distracted. But you know, that small still voice would be like, no, don't hold, someone's on your side. It was just amazing. I must have hit. I came through there right at noon, too, so that's probably not a great time. It seemed like everybody was going to or from lunch. Or maybe it's just always incredibly busy. I'm just not used to seeing thousands of cars on the road. It's quite...
Going really fast.
Hmm?
Going really fast.
Going really fast. Exceeding the speed limit, the guideline. They must be able to do that speed limit. That's obviously a suggestion. I currently don't see anyone following it. Like, I'm being pushed. Like, I can't go in the fast lane because I don't want to go 20 miles over. And in the slow lane, all the people are merging on and off, so I'm in the way there. So it's the middle ground, middle way. I'm in the middle lane. But the small cell voice, the whole way, the small cell voice. And it was really fun. The intelligence that animates. This request went out in August. I think I finalized the plans in September, and it was like, okay, I'll be these 2 days, and I'll be arriving at the monster between 4 and 5 on this date. And that's 26 hours of driving, 2 full days. I get here at 4:35 today. I mean, how does it, yeah, and it's like, wow, like, wow. Like, you know, 1,000 miles plus, it's like, wow. Like nerves. Like, and I'm just like, was discussed earlier, like, no praise, no blame, like, you know, like, wow, you know.
I was the only one in the car, but I think I was a passenger.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was my, yeah, it was like, we talked about Project Joy, I think last week, about agency. And it's like, I have no agency, none whatsoever. I cannot control a single thing. I can just be open and aware and hear information coming at me constantly if I'm present. And when I'm not present, I miss a lot of it. And then there's a catch-up. Oh, well, that's what was said yesterday. Okay, great. I'll be there for that. But all in all, it was really, really a beautiful trip. All the leaves are out. Went through some beautiful, you know, Shasta Mountain and the lakes. Klamath Falls, and you probably know there, Red Bluff and Redding and all that, but really spectacular. And then some places, I'd be the only person there for hours. It'd be crazy. I'd be on the, I'd like, wow, hope I don't break down. There's nobody around. I'm in the middle of nowhere. Nobody behind me, no one in front of me for like 2 hours. Like, wow, where is everybody? I'm in the middle.
They're in Sacramento.
They're all in Sacramento. That's what they are. Yeah, that's interesting. I can't bypass. I tried to look if I could bypass Sacramento.
No, can't do it.
Not the way I want to come in here. No, I can't bypass Sacramento coming from the north. But
it's
anyway.
It's our capital, you know. We want everybody to be there.
But all in all, very joyful trip. You know, to have 13, 14 hours a day in your car with your recorder and listening and recording and listening and recording and listening and recording. That's a great vacation. You hear about people come to the monastery, this best vacation ever. Being in a car for 2 days with your recorder. Yeah. And listening and recording and listening, and then listening to old recordings and making recordings about the old recordings and listening to your joyful recordings, and it was really it was a love fest.
Yeah.
It was a love fest.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Reminds me of the story that everybody knows, I think, about me driving for 10 hours, counting my breath.
Oh,
yeah. And getting there just nuts.
I remember that story.
Yeah. I mean, you were that way at the end of the first 13 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm car lagged, but coming into the monastery, I was energized. Absolutely energized. I'm very, kind of fatigued, but there's a huge energy that's been building. And to come home, the heart's home is really, really,
really wonderful. Good. Really good.
It's really, really good. Thank you.
Who is next? Cameron.
The talking about communication and all earlier, that I have been having quite a few experiences of being unskillful.
Oh.
Unskillful. That's the nice way to say it. Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to say more.
And the really, really neat thing about it is getting the
vibrating over here.
Unskillfully.
That really, really taking it in and seeing what went on and the implications of it, and seeing the unskillfulness, and in the past it might have been humiliating or some kind of thing like that, or even downright full of self-hate, to realize, oh my God, how did you write an email to somebody and send it to somebody else? That kind of thing. And how did you manage to ask someone in practice for some information that you don't even need now? That kind of thing, after we've been going through all the teachings about not knowing and stuff like that, but then just really taking it in and actually really experiencing the fact that needing to know anything, anytime, just takes the person completely out of the moment. And having experienced that happening without going to that place of self-hate or feeling bad or feeling stupid.
Exactly. Then you just get to, oh.
Yeah, oh.
Oh, I see.
I've heard that forever. Now I actually have the experience of what a good bamboozle that is for ego, and what a bad deal it is for me to be out of the moment wanting information about another moment.
Bad deal or not, because without all of that happening,
exactly,
you wouldn't have seen it. So it's not a bad deal.
Well, it's a good
deal.
You
might not want to do it too many more times.
Yeah,
you
right.
might have really gotten that.
Right.
But still, that still gets us, that we could learn what we learn in another way, in a less dramatic or impressive way. It's just not true. We can't.
Yeah, there is no alternative reality, and however long it takes is however long it takes. And the joy of being able to have those sort of things happen, and to be there and to be grateful for them instead of feel bad in some way.
Yes. Well, because the feel bad
teaches
us not to want to have those experiences, which puts us even more firmly in the grip of this.
Of needing to know.
That promises to prevent that.
Yeah.
And of course, it was being in the grip of this that
caused it in the first place.
Have that. yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just been like, it seems like having that awareness when of when you talked about you have to choose it, and the awareness I had that I haven't chosen it. I've been doing something that I thought was that, but it hasn't really happened. Ever since then, it's like it's just pouring in. It's just pouring in, like the teachings are just pouring in. In a way that they're you know, they're landing.
And one of the best parts of that is, you know, what is humiliated is ego.
Is ego.
That's all.
Yeah.
And so when we get to that point of, well, I don't mind if ego is humiliated.
Yeah.
It's fine with me. Then those experiences are not terribly painful. Because, you know, it's not you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't been feeling really painful. I mean, there's kind of the shock when it happens. How did that happen?
Well, it's that, where was I?
Where was
that's
I?
That's the one.
Where's Waldo?
Yeah, that's the one I'm always most grateful for.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm here.
Yeah.
And clearly I wasn't. Yeah. Because if I were here, I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Right. So I wasn't.
And
that means we really have to up our game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how can I? Okay, I think I'm here now. Am I? I think I'm here now. Am I? It's Joshu.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you get the feeling, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, I will fall asleep and not know it. Mm-hmm. I'll fall asleep and think I'm awake. I gotta be careful.
Yeah.
I gotta pay attention. Not I gotta be careful, because there's no, you know, we still want to be racing along through life.
Right.
As we're doing it. You know, we want to be getting on down the path. but really paying attention.
And you can get down the path a little bit better if you're not completely paranoid you're going to make a mistake.
Oh, exactly.
That's the crippling thing.
What I'm responding to now is the insights pouring in.
Uh-huh.
The clarity pouring in.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we're really here and we're moving fast.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot that we're getting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so much gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So much gratitude. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
the talk about repression and, you know, I just, that was just ringing a bell. And I started a group with feeling a lot of irritation. And
was it anything we did?
Yeah, no. It was just so curious because actually, yeah, I don't, you know, it just started like just before group. And so I was kind of suspicious of it.
Isn't that, you know, fun to be present for? Really?
Yeah.
Why now? Why am I irritated?
What is
irritated about?
Exactly.
And not supposed to ask that question, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just
be irritated.
I thought it started up just a little bit before group, and like everything was just
so annoying.
So annoying. And and then I realized oftentimes in group, you know, it's that or you are getting sleepy. You know, you are getting
irritable or sleepy,
but both of them will do the job.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
So I put my hands up because, you know, to get here. And I love what you said about the presence is the result of the previous presences. I always hear something I've never heard before that just kind
of... Yeah, it's that kind of a... back through time.
Hmm.
She's making this little motion with her hand going back through time.
And this is just an aside. Yesterday we sat outdoors for the open air. And I was sitting squarely in front of the lilac, which has just gotten a trim. And also the leaves are, you know, various colors of yellow now, and the sun was setting, and there's those little tiny things that fly, I don't know what they are, but you know, when the sun hits them, they just kind of glitter like stardust or sprinkles. And the sun,
the sands.
Yeah, oh, I was wondering if there were no seams, but that would ruin the picture.
It really would. I was starting to get nervous.
And the light was glinting off the yellow leaves on the ground and the tree and those little sparkly flying things, and I just was like, holy smokes. There's no way anything like this could ever be created. Never. I mean, there's no way this could ever be duplicated or created or, you know, anyway. So it was just one of those moments of, like, seeing the whole thing. Like,
oh, yeah. And it's magic.
Yeah.
Only because you were there.
Yeah.
I don't know. There must be something in physics about that. Because the magic was you.
Yeah, I realized that.
Haven't you been out there before?
Exactly. That's what I've sat in front of that lilac so many times, but it never did that thing that it did yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, or just put on this amazing show. And the other thing I just wanted to say was, I woke up this morning and mornings are often my best time, really. I mean, and I was getting ready to do some breathing and physical fitness sort of things, and here's what life gave me as my routine this morning: to get down on the floor and roll around and laugh. And so, you know, I just thought that was just that just made me laugh to get that assignment. And so I did. And I thought it was a great routine.
Well, I love that whole story. First of all, you're gonna do some physical fitness, but you're listening. And what drops in is, get down on the floor and laugh. And you didn't say, I'm gonna do physical fitness. You got down on the floor and laughed. You laughed. You got down on the floor and laughed.
Yeah, well, it seemed like the best kind of fitness possible.
Yeah.
You know.
And how many times might that happen?
Yeah.
First of all, how many times might that happen that we didn't even hear it? Mm-hmm. Didn't even notice it. Mm-hmm. Or you hear it and notice it. Oh, that's stupid. It's cold and it's probably dirty or something.
It's not that much room to roll.
And I was wondering, how do you bus roll an inch?
Which made it even more funnier.
But effort to roll right in one place. That's fitness.
And not putting the furniture down on you. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was just... So I share that routine with anybody that practices with me. Yeah.
Well, and it's such a... It's a, you know, whether it's telling us which... that we missed our freeway and we need to pull over and figure out where we are, or, you know, get down on the floor and roll around and laugh. If we're paying attention, the guidance is really good.
It's really good. It's really good.
Rebecca?
Well, I want to add my small, still voice story about the guidance being really good. So I've been practicing with the conscious, compassionate action, and here in group, because I came in not feeling good at all, feeling real, and
was snack bad or something. I mean, I ate too much, but aside from that,
it wasn't
bad.
It was delicious.
Yeah,
it wasn't. You know, when Sequoia said irritated, I was like, was it the broccoli? Because you know that was what irritated me the other day. I don't know. We had that for lunch, but anyway. So. So my conscious, compassionate action is to practice with what now life. That's what I want to offer, this sort of this responsiveness. So I just sat here feeling yucky, going, what now life? you know, and sort of the message was just wait for it, just wait for it, because I knew it was nothing, you know, nothing was happening. I wasn't disidentifying per se, you know, I wasn't feeling any of that. And then I just sort of it all, and then the conversation about the still small voice happened, and whoop, then it dropped in something that, so there was a process within the process. So that was the larger process. And then what dropped in was this thing I hadn't thought about. It happened last night. I'm doing this little writing project and had about an hour and a half where I worked on it last night. And for about an hour and 15 minutes of it, it was just, you know, writing. And then, you know, just kind of the stuff. And then it dropped in. You know, write this. And it was just that. And then the last 15 minutes, I was writing that. I mean, it was the difference between day and night, of ego and still small voice. And it, and I hadn't thought about that until this conversation. It had just been so late, overlaid with all of the, you know, greed, hate, and delusion that I've been stuck in a lot of the day.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing you're suspecting that those two have something to do with one another.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, yes. I had one of the worst onslaughts of self-hate after that late last night, that I've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I suspected it, then I didn't suspect it. Then I said, you know, it was sort of lingering, but mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And wait for it. That's a good one, isn't it? Because that's what so much of practice is. What now, life? Patience.
Yeah.
Patience. Yeah. Don't go on. You'll get back to center. And of course, the you know, asking the question, you're actually there.
Yeah.
Right? You're actually where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same feeling to it that it's going to have when you're looking for it,
yeah.
When you're really there for it, when you're patiently attending.
Yes. And you know what's dropping in is, as you're saying that, is that way of living is the antidote, or it's the way that I don't fall into the good on me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's clearly not me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a perfect thank you. Mm-hmm. Because what we're trained for is, okay, I've been identified, and now I want to disidentify. Yeah. Disidentify.
I'm still waiting patiently.
That's right. Yeah. Disidentify me, okay?
Yeah.
And
disidentify me.
And in that, showing up and waiting and being present to whatever is there in the with an attitude of gratitude and faith, we somehow manage to magically slip into that place that we know we're seeking.
Yeah.
But when it's exactly what you said, you know you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make it happen.
Yeah.
That's the most frustrating thing with people. Learn about disidentification. It's like, okay, all right, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm identified, I want to disidentify now.
Yeah.
And you can't. And the more you try, the more identified you get. Because
yes.
It just doesn't work that way. And then we get to that place of, okay, what now? I'm happy to sit here. I'm just going to breathe and or go about whatever it is that I'm doing, because when the time is right, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. I know it will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see a whole bunch along the way. So I'm on your schedule. That's right, I'm just going. Now I'm back.
Yeah. Wow, that's a
Over this side. You could have some water, except you don't have any.
I clearly shouldn't be speaking.
You want me to ask Anna and get back? Anna! All right. Seriously, you can have.
I have plenty.
No, and I have germs.
That last conversation just brought back an awareness that I had this evening, which was like, so the last time I was here a couple of weeks ago was like coming back home, capital H, small h, and like running through a field into the arms of the beloved and like dancing around in the field. And of course then there was the story of, well, how's it feeling to today? What is it
like to that? Yeah. Any lilac trees? Any sparkling buds?
So that. And, exactly. I walked past the lilac tree and said, "You've had a good haircut." You know, it's really. It looked all very. Yeah. I greeted it, and so yeah. So there was the kind of the smiling at that, and also feeling a bit caught in the like in the disidentify me, right? And what dropped in when we were sitting this afternoon was like, instead of like running through a field in the arms of the beloved and swinging around, it was more like what?
Just logging through.
Or just like that same process but a different energy. So like walking into the field maybe needing a bit of a lie down. Or like resting a head on the shoulder of the beloved. Instead of more of a slow dance than a jig. Right? And how there was just then nothing, there wasn't that separation or trying to get an experience. Or it was just,
yeah.
It's just the same process of different energy. Or and yeah.
And without needing to compare it.
Yes.
Each one just being what it is, and we can be equally grateful for each of them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
But what a setup.
Oh.
Like, oh, wow. That was so wonderful. It's the flip side of that, right? That was so wonderful. I wonder what this will be.
So it was just really lovely to be reminded of that more expanded awareness place that was available this afternoon. And yeah, thank you.
Are you recovered?
Thank you. So it's interesting because with that cough, everything went out of my head. But what I was looking at is this place of undulation, but in the undulation that's, you know, we were talking about spike and crash recently.
This was Tuesday Night Group in Malibu. We did spike and crash.
And
I mean, we didn't all. It was reported.
And so this, my undulation is a long, flat line. That there's an absence of it's perhaps in the whatever the amplitude or of the sine wave isn't very steep, right? It's just this sort of there's a long gap of what feels like no drama, and so it's not the oh I'm up and then I'm down and I'm up and I'm down, it's more like a plateau with very few bumps. And that's a surprise, because for so long it's been an up and down, and so a flat is just interesting. And the thing that dropped in for me while I was looking at it is that in the flat, what the story that accompanies it is there's no energy, there's no joy, there's nothing that is animating me. And yet there's such a complete ability to just show up, to just do what it is that is animating me, right? And what I got to is...
So the energy to do what you're required to do.
Well, that the energy does what it's required to do. I'm not required to feel a particular way about it. So what's really missing is me. It's just a startling realization that perhaps the belief that I'm letting go of is that I need to be here to do something. It's quite evident that I'm not.
That it's up to you and you need to feel a certain way in order for
something to happen. Mm-hmm. And it isn't. There's such a level of feeling. So things that used to feel together, like me doing something, feeling a certain way, is required for X to happen. Where I feel a certain way has nothing to do with what's going on, and it has certainly nothing. There's such a divorcing of all of those components that were me, and which is very interesting and also very surprising. Mm-hmm. So I can cry, I can still do a good job, and I can show up and not feel joyful, and the thing that was supposed to happen would happen.
Mm-hmm. So how did cry get in there?
Well, it's all of the emotions. So if the story being that if you're doing something, you do it with a lot of presence and a lot of motivation and whatever it is.
Which should be joyful.
But none of those components go together. They just go together in me. They don't go together in life. Mm-hmm. And just being present to that is surprising. Because life goes along in all kinds of ways, and I think what I'm recognizing is that the story is not holding anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? That this goes with this goes with this, and if this is all
going together... And it doesn't depend on you.
Well, and that's it. If I'm not there, they don't go together. Mm-hmm. It's only in the me that it all goes together.
Yes.
And so if that is not there, whatever is there, and there's a witnessing of it. And part of the flat line is the confusion, or the absence of the me trying not to sort it out, or trying to sort it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just interesting to be in what I would call the doldrum of the undulation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, may I offer you a place to look?
Please.
So, in the realization that me is not required for anything, it would seem then that because experience depends on me, mm-hmm. it's difficult to imagine experience without a me to experience it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so without a me, then there is... we could say action, or whatever it is, that action is as good a thing as any, unfolding mm-hmm. events. And so what's possible then for us is to experience the life force that is doing that.
Yes.
And that's where the experience, that's what one experiences.
Yes, I absolutely get it. It came to me when you, around another thing you said in group on Tuesday night, which is the exercise around here, that it's a good way of directing the attention to that process that is moving about doing things.
Yes.
And the surprising thing about it is that quality of animation actually does not have characteristics if it isn't labeled.
Yes.
In other words, it's that place of, if I put blue in water, the water is blue. that the water takes on the color of whatever it is that it's flowing over, but inherently it doesn't have a quality. The mind is required to attribute a quality. And so part of that experience that I'm having is, wow, if I'm turning the attention to here and experiencing that thing that is the life force, the surprise is that I haven't yet been able to look at it without the filter of the mind, which labels. And so it doesn't feel like all of the things me used to feel like when it was being animated. And it feels like I'm just getting used to the emptiness and the qualities of emptiness if it's not witnessed through the mind.
Through the personality.
Through the personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, just a place, fun place to, you know, when you don't have anything else to do, to appreciate, and then it's sort of like experience the joy of witnessing the animating force.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which I don't have a lot of practice with. I think that is the quality that I am learning, the skill that I think I'm starting to get is a different sort of receptivity. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. At least that's what dropped in.
Well, and so for anybody who's not just right there in your own experience of this, so when we talk about it doesn't matter how I feel. So we were talking about that earlier. You know, I keep my commitments. So I'm committed to this. I keep that commitment. It doesn't matter. I don't want to. I don't like it. I'm tired. It doesn't matter. I keep the commitment because the joy is in the animating force that will keep the commitment.
Yes. And I've never...
It has nothing to do with me or that commitment or what happens. It's watching how life is. Mm-hmm.
And what I think I'm noticing is that the conditioned orientation is to look out, has always been to look out,
yes,
and recognize the structures that are assisting me to feel this way.
Yes.
Now the structures are not, that's not how I can see what I'm experiencing anymore.
That's right.
So I have to turn around.
Yes.
And part of what I experience when I look out and cannot see that the structures are feeding me is a sense of, I don't know. And at least the only couple of, I mean, just before group, it's that, okay, there's a reverse looking because there is nothing there. It isn't where I need to look and there is nothing there. So,
yes, and what you're looking at is not me.
Yes,
which is the most amazing part of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah,
and to realize what a complete off the point distraction me has always been.
Yes,
and that what you're currently looking at now and enjoying is what has always been doing everything. It goes back to what we started out with. Oh, good on me! I went to work today and did all of the work things.
Yeah.
And it never did have anything to do with any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The image that dropped in for me as you were saying that is, it's almost as if I've lived in a hall of mirrors where the that physics experiment where the candle is reflected in infinity in the mirror, and that the only way I've been able to see it has been through looking in a mirror.
Yes.
Well, the mirror doesn't exist anymore, and I keep looking for the mirror through the mirror. Mm. I just don't know. I don't get to have the subjective experience of being the candle, because I realize I'm seeing that I haven't seen that way.
Yeah. Much excitement ahead.
Yeah, it's just sort of that glimmer of, oh, that could be what's going on.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that's why it's so important that we don't try to, I mean, we do, because we do, but, you know, the highs, the lows, the plateaus, the I'm feeling this, I'm comparing that, you know, it is what we do in awareness practice, because it's the way, it's what we know how to do, but we want to be increasingly clear that what we're saying really has nothing to do with what's going on. And if that's the case, then we know we're just kind of, you know, feeling our way along. And it, increasingly, it's not exactly, well, it's sort of, but no, but not really, okay? And that's the not that, not that, not that of Buddhism, right? Well, no, it's not sort of, but...
Well, and the experience, if I may say one more thing, the experience of the conditioned process trying to explain it,
yes,
would actually say, I'm feeling hollow. Mm-hmm. It's an accurate statement.
Yes. It's just that it means one thing when interpreted through personality and another when interpreted through the intelligence of animates.
Which was sort of what, the reason I'm not feeling the life force is because I'm talking from the mirror, mm-hmm. not from, I haven't made that movement yet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just...
And, this last one, if you weren't talking from the life force, you wouldn't be able to be talking.
Yeah.
And if you weren't seeing from the life force, you wouldn't be able to see from the mirror.
True.
So it's always good.
Non-separate.
Yeah, to keep in mind that as much as it might feel like it, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Thank you.